hug somebody's neck, give them a high five. Kiss them on the cheek if you're kin to them. Just tell them, hey, man. Tell somebody you love them. Tell somebody you're glad they're here today. And praise the Lord, man. So cool. Thanks for coming to hang out with us. Thanks for coming and choosing Bethel this morning. Can I just tell y'all something right off the bat? Can I be real with y'all? Y'all clap like a bunch of white folks. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you, man. I'm just over there listening, and this bunch is on one beat, and this bunch is on another beat, and I'm just like, praise the Lord, they're clapping their hands, right, Conrad? Oh, man, welcome to Bethel, man. We are in week number 4 of our series. Our series is entitled Moments. Everybody say moments. We've just been talking about these moments that we have with God, these moments that remind us of his greatness, these moments that we have that changed our life and they changed the direction of our life. Not only moments that we have with God, but moments that we have with our family and our friends, moments with our spouse and moments with our children. We got to continue to have these moments throughout all of our lives. And so I ask you, I challenge you, like, it's the world that we live in. The world that we live in is a social media world. It's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's TikTok, whatever. And so I just ask you, a couple of weeks ago, when you have these moments, we talked about moments in nature with sunsets, we talked about moments of eating supper together with our family, just moments that we would have. And I ask you to put hashtag moments and tag Bethel Assembly on all of your social media. And can I just tell you, thank you for doing that. It's been so cool. Social media can get to be such junk and such yuck and such drama. And it's just been cool to see you and your family. It's been cool to see you building a fire in the back of your house. It's been cool. So I just want to challenge you. Keep doing that. Keep sharing the moments that you have, because how many of you know God can use your social media post that gives him glory to reach your friends and followers that may not know Jesus the way you and I do. So I'm just asking you, keep sharing. Let's keep bringing glory to the Lord. So let me ask you another question. How many of you were here last Sunday? Shout amen. How about Pastor Cole? Didn't he do a great job sharing his story and his family story? And so today we're going to talk about something that maybe when we first hear it, we might go, well, wait a minute. I don't know about that. I don't like that. Today we're going to talk about testing. We're going to talk about tests. We're going to talk about how the Lord tests us. And we're going to talk about how every day in our life, it's a constant test. We send our children to school in America beginning at about age 5, and they go to kindergarten. Immediately when our children go to school, they start taking tests. Can this child graduate to first grade? Can this child that's in third grade take a test and pass to go to the fourth grade? Life is all about tests. We all have careers, and we want to be better in our career. If you want to be a better preacher, there's tests. If you want to be a better horse trainer, there's tests. If you want to be a better coach, a better teacher, there's all these tests. Don't leave me hanging on this. There's tests in marriage every day. Come on, somebody. It's a test. It's a test. It's a test in our relationships. It's tests in our faith spiritually. If we want to grow to the next level in our spiritual journeys, we have to pass tests. And so today I want to talk to you about the test, about embracing the test, about overcoming in the middle of the test. How many of you love a good Western movie? Come on, somebody. Can I hear a good amen? There's this movie that I love, and it's called Young Guns. How many of y'all seen it? Back in the day, it's about Billy the Kid, and he has his group, and they're called the Regulators, and man, they've fought this fight. It's the Lincoln County Wars, and they're fighting against corruption, and all this is going on, and Billy the Kid and his Regulators, they're out in the country, and they're beat up, and they're shot up, and they're hungry, and they're tired. They've been fighting all these wars and these battles, and everybody in the group's just like, we're done. Like, we don't want to do this anymore. We're not going back to Lincoln. We're not going back to over there. We're just going to go to Mexico and hide out. And Billy, being the leader, he steps up and he goes, what do you mean you're going to leave? You're going to Mexico? He says, you fail the test. You fail the test. And they said to him, what test, Billy? And he said, every day's a test. He said, when you quit testing yourself and you quit allowing yourself to be tested, you get slow and you get lazy and you get comfortable. And next thing you know, the enemy will shoot you and kill you. You've lost it all. He said, we have to embrace every test in life. And I want to challenge you, church. Can you look. What you're going through right now, it's nothing but a test. What you're going through right now is nothing but a test. Don't you feel sorry for yourself. Don't you get the whiny-hiny. Don't you act like you're the only one that has ever gone through a struggle and through a trial in your life. I'm telling you, you are going through a test. And the reason that you're going through a test is because God sees there is potential for you to take it to the next level, because God always wants to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we're asking and thinking. You know what? Embrace that test and say, I will overcome that test by the power of the Spirit of God inside of me. You have to embrace the test and say, I'm willing to take the test. What is a test? At the very core, the definition of test, it's an attempt to learn the true nature of something. The true nature. Test me, Lord. Test me, because I'll show you my true nature. Test me, because I'm not a kindergartner. I'll show you my nature as a first grader. Test me, Lord. It's an attempt to learn the true nature of something. We're going to look at a guy in the Bible today, and we're going to see how he passed the ultimate test, how he had tests over and over throughout his life. We're going to look and see how he had this moment. We've been talking about moments. Everybody shout moment. We're going to look at this guy today and see how he had a moment in the middle of the test, and how he had a moment at the end of the test that empowered him and changed his life forever. Today, we're going to talk about a guy in the Bible named Abraham. He's known as the father of faith. We're going to read several scriptures, and we're going to read scriptures so that we can learn all about his life, how he was a man of faith. And he was not just a man of faith, but he was a man of faith and action. Look at me. Look. How many of you know? Faith without action is dead, according to James 2:17. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad that you believe, and I'm glad that you have some faith. I have faith too. But if you want to go to the next level and you want to pass the test and you want to have a moment where you see the supernatural power of God, you can't just have faith. You've got to step out and put some action behind that faith. We're going to read. Let's go, baby girl. I'm with you. Yes, ma'am. Let's go. Maybe we better pray before I get to the scripture. If you're a timekeeper, I'm at 7 minutes. That was all introductory, so that doesn't count. Just saying. Let's pray and we'll read some scripture. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Thank you for the tests. The tests sometimes are hard. The tests sometimes are struggle. But we know that you are in the tests, Lord, and that you're wanting to reveal our true nature, Lord. And we want to show you that we have matured. We want to show you that we have grown beyond our immature faith. We want to show you that we are ready to go all in. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, the beginning story of this man named Abraham, known as the father of faith. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and from your family and from your father's house and go to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, Abraham, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing to all. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you, I will curse him. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and he took Lot, his nephew, with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. There's so many little nuggets and so many little pieces right there. The first thing that I want us to see right there is God went to Abraham. God had chosen Abraham, and God said, I want to use you, Abraham. But in order for me to use you the way that I want to use you, you're going to have to leave your family, and you're going to have to leave your hometown, and you're going to have to leave the things that are comfortable to you. And I want you to go to a place, and I'll show you where to go. Can I just be really, really honest and really real with you? Sometimes you and I, if we want to receive the greatest things that God has for us, if we want to go through the testings so that we can see the hand of God move in our life, we have to get out of the place that's become comfortable to us. We have to get away from the people that we've always hung around with, and sometimes we have to get away from our family, because how many of you know, sometimes family will try to talk you out of doing what God is asking you to do. I know this story well. I know the story well because I grew up a cowboy. I grew up wanting to be a cowboy. It's all I ever wanted to do. I grew up idolizing the men, and I'm not ashamed to say it, that worked in Guthrie, Texas at the Four Sixes Ranch. Nobody could throw a hula hand like Bobby Thompson. Royce McClowery was tough on a horse, but he could make a horse operate and gin around. Bigham Bradley, George Humphreys. I wanted to go to work there, and God opened the door for Jennifer and I to move up there. And can I tell you what happened to me when I was up there? The cowboy world became my God. My reputation became my God. My ability became my God. This stigma I had of cowboy, of rough and drinking and chewing and fighting and riding bucking horses, it became my God. And God began to stir in my life, and God began to say a lot of the things to me that he said to Abraham. Cody, I want to use you, and I want to use you to change an entire culture. Cody, I want to use you to reach a lot of cowboys and a lot of men, but I can't do it while you're living here at Guthrie. I need you to leave that place and go somewhere else. And I haven't gotten it right very many times in my life, but I'll tell you where I got it right. It's when Jennifer and I packed up and left Guthrie, Texas. And next thing you know, I'm loading UPS trucks with a pair of brown shorty shorts on down here at Abilene. And in that test and in that moment, I was able to take my cowboy world off of the throne and put God rightly back on the throne and say, God, here I am. Use me for whatever you want me to do. Some of you got to get out of where you are, and you got to get out of the usual, and you got to get out of the people you're hanging around with. And I'm not saying, I'm not saying that you're better than anybody else. I'm not saying the people you're hanging around are less than you, but I am saying if God is trying to do something, sometimes you have to cut some ties and say yes to God and notice some things in some people. Abraham leaves his home, leaves his family. He doesn't know where he's going, but he takes out on faith. I love the fact that he takes his nephew Lot with him. That just signifies this. When Jesus sent the 70 disciples out, he didn't send them out one by one. He sent them out two by two. And Abraham knew that the journey that I'm about to go on, I'm going to need somebody with me that is a light believer. I'm going to need somebody with me that can encourage me, that I can encourage as well. And can I just tell you that what God wants to do in your life and in my life, we cannot achieve it on our own. I need Tubby. Tubby needs me. I need my kids. Cole needs me. I need Conrad. We all need each other, brothers and brothers and sisters and families, where God wants to take us, we got to have somebody to go with us. Abraham pulls out. He leaves. Doesn't know where he's going. Let's pick up in Genesis chapter 13. How many of you know God always blesses obedience? Come on, somebody. You want to know what to do? Obey God. You want to know what help you out of the struggle you're in? Obey God. Look, worship is good. Church is good. Praising God is good. But the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. And sometimes we think a sacrifice of praise or sacrifice of putting money in the church or sacrifice of going to church is what's going to get us out. Just be obedient to the word of God. Abraham leaves everything that he knows. Genesis 13. So Abraham went up from Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot, his nephews with him, they went to Negev. Now Abraham was very rich in livestock and in silver and in gold. I want you to know that because God wants to bless you physically in this world as well. You need to know that. Sometimes there's this poverty mentality in the church that if I'm going to serve God, I'm just going to be poor. You know what? One of these days when I get to heaven, I'm going to be rich. But now I'm just suffering. I'm just struggling through. If you and I will be obedient to God in our marriage, obedient to God in the way we raise our children, if we'll be obedient to God to tithing and giving, if we'll be obedient to God, God will bless us in this life. He was rich. Man, he had all the cattle. He had all the horses. He had everything. But here's what I want you to see. How many would agree with me? It would have been easy for Abraham to say, I left my home and I got over here in this land. Now I got lots of horses and lots of cattle and a big ranch and I'm really, really rich. How many know it would have been easy for him to coast and be comfortable the rest of his life? But it's okay to have riches of this world. But the riches of this world are not what will bring satisfaction, joy, and fulfillment to our life. Abraham said, I want more of God. And you know what else Abraham wanted more than anything? A son. He wanted some kids. His wife was barren. He said, everything that I've got, can I just tell you, you know what? Rejoice over your family. Rejoice over your family. Rejoice over your husband. Rejoice over your wife. Rejoice over your mom. Rejoice over your dad. Rejoice over your children. Rejoice over your nieces and your nephews and your aunties and your uncles. Rejoice. I know your family is dysfunctional because I've been talking about your family for a lot of years, most of you, just like you've been talking about mine, but rejoice over them. Because knowing God and doing the will of God plus our family, those are the number one things in this life. Can I hear a good amen? Abraham was 75. He'd never had a child. He's 75 years old. 25 years from the time God speaks to him and says, leave home, he faithfully serves and is obedient. For 25 years, some of us can't even stay hooked 25 days. Abraham, for 25 years, him and his wife, man, they're trying to have kids, and that's the fun part. Come on, somebody. They're trying and trying and trying and trying. 25 years, he stays hooked. And finally, Genesis chapter 17, God says, Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, says, Sarah, your wife, she's going to bear you a son. Abraham is 99 years old. Your wife is going to bear you a son, and you will call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. God made the promise. You'll have children in Genesis 12. In Genesis chapter 17, Sarah becomes pregnant. And in Genesis chapter 21, God is faithful to what he said because the promises of God are yes and amen. Genesis 21, verse 1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he promised. She conceived and she bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time which God had spoken to them. Boom! What a moment, y'all. What a stud. Come on, somebody, 100 years old. What a stud. What a stud. Boom, what a moment that he would never forget at 100 years old. I have a baby. You know what? Stop right there. End of the story. Write the book, make the movie. It's a bestseller. Couldn't get any better. Everything happened like it's supposed to happen. It had a good start. It had a great middle. And it had an amazing end. Abraham gets the girl, moves away, buys the ranch, has a son at 100 years old. But God is not finished with Abraham yet. God said, I'm still going to test you because I still see potential in you. Come on, somebody. There's still potential in you. There's still potential in you. No matter how old you are, no matter what you're going, oh, Lord. Age is just a number. If you're still here, God is going to keep testing us. The test is only the beginning. You see, there will never be a time when God quits testing you and I. Never, 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 never. Because if he does, we'll get fat, sassy, lazy, and we'll lose our edge. How many want to be on the edge? Come on, somebody. I don't want to be a dull knife that God used to use. I don't want to be a dull sword that God used 10 years ago. I want to be on the cutting edge. I want to be the best. I want you to be the best. And the way that we stay sharp is continuing to embrace the test and pass the test. Now, let's talk about the test of all tests. Everything looks to be great, but wait, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, let's start reading in verse number 1. After all these things, after the story seems to be great, God tested Abraham. Genesis 22, 1. God tested Abraham and said, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. Like, please, God, no more tests. He didn't say, please, God, I'm just worn out right now. I can't take any more. Abraham said, here I am. Test me. I'm your guy. Test me. I love that attitude. Verse number 2, God says to Abraham, this is so hard to understand as a father, as a parent. Abraham, or God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, the one that you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him up as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Say, what? Did God just ask Abraham to sacrifice the son that he had prayed for and believed for and finally received at 100 years of age? Do what, God? The one I waited for? The one that's now 10 or 12 years old that I've had hopes and dreams for? The one that I thought would make me a father to many nations? The one that I thought would fulfill the prophecy that you spoke over me? I understand, God, that you gave him to me. I understand you want me to trust you, God. But Abraham's like, you really want me to offer up my son to you? It's crazy hard to believe. But Abraham, even in the not knowing, come on, somebody. Even in the not understanding, even when it's not making sense what's happening in my life, Abraham was still obedient. Verse number 3, Genesis 22, 3. So Abraham rose up early in the morning. If that's what you want, God, I'll give it to you. He rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and he arose and he went to the place which God had told him to go. He took a 3-day journey. 3 days, they're heading out. Genesis 22, 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to the two young men that were with him, stay here with the donkey and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. That part right there always intrigued me, and I want to take a moment to highlight that for you as well. I wonder, like, why did Abraham have these two guys? Why did they only get to go so far with him in the journey? And then Abraham said, y'all stay here. Me and the lad are going to go to the top of the mountain, and we're going to worship God. And here's what the Lord said to me. There are certain people that come along in our life, and you know what? They don't have the faith that you and I have, and they can't go all the way to the top with us because they will try to talk us out of doing what God is asking us to do. These two men had watched Isaac grow up. They had watched him be birthed. They knew how much that Abraham loved his son. And if they had went to the top, they would have never let Abraham tie Isaac up and put him on the altar. They would have stopped Abraham from doing what God asked him to do. Surround yourself with people that say, if that's what God has called you to do, I will be your number one cheerleader and I will not doubt your ability to hear God, and they will lift us up and encourage us to be obedient to God even in the tough times. Verse number 6, Abraham left the two, went to the top of the mountain, Genesis 22, 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it on his son Isaac. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they both went up together. And Isaac said to his dad, hey, Dad, like, we got the fire and we got the wood, but where's the lamb that you're going to kill for a burnt offering? And Abraham said in faith, God's going to provide something for me to kill. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place which God had told them, Abraham built an altar, laid the wood in order, and then he tied his son up, laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and Abraham reached out his hand and took his knife and raised it to kill his one and only son. And in that moment, verse number 11, the angel of the Lord called to him and said, Abraham, Abraham, and even in the tough times, he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on that boy or do anything to him, for now I know you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. In that moment, it was the test. Remember the definition of test? It's an attempt to learn the true nature of something. And in that moment of sacrifice, of giving it all up, God said, I see the true nature of your heart, Abraham, and you're willing to be obedient until it hurts. Guarantee you that was a moment right there. A moment that Abraham never forgot. And in that moment, watch what God does. I mean, you know, God is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. Can somebody say amen? And in that moment, God said, don't hurt him. Verse number 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked and behold, behind him was a ram
caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, for the Lord is my provider. Verse number 17, God said, verse 16, and God said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you've done this, because you passed the test and have not withheld your son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you've obeyed my voice. Now, can you listen and focus just for a few more minutes right quick? How can one man, Abraham, the father of our faith, have one son, and through that one son, all the people of the world be blessed? How can that offspring touch the entire world? Because here's what happened. Because Abraham passed the test. Turn in your Bible to Matthew sometime when you get home tonight. Read Matthew chapter number 1 and read the genealogy and the family tree of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can back it up from Mary to Joseph to Jacob to Rehoboam to Solomon to David to Jesse to Obed to Boaz to Jacob to Isaac and to a man named Abraham. Abraham had a son, and through that son and through his seed, it went down to Jesus Christ. And now, because of Jesus Christ and what he's done, you and I can accept Jesus Christ by faith. And when we accept Jesus Christ by faith, we are adopted into the family of God. We are now brothers and sisters. We are now heirs, joint heirs. We're sons of the Most High God. You and I are blessed by our faith, but it all started with Abraham's faith thousands of years ago. It's never ending when God is involved. It all started with the promise of God, testing of Abraham, his faith, and his obedience. Conrad, would you come help me close this thing down? Here's what I want to challenge you with today, because I would be a fool to think that there's not people that came in here today in the middle of a test. Some of your tests are way bigger than mine. I came with some tests. Me and my family got some tests going on. You got some going on as well. And some of you, and I say this with all love, you just want to ignore the test and stay away from the test because you just have gotten used to being comfortable. That's what you're going to do. Some of you, the test has come and fear has gripped you to the point that it is crippling you. You can't even see God. You can't even have faith in God. Can I tell you, it's a test. It's just a test. And your God is bigger than your test. And I'm going to go back and remind you that if you are in the middle of a testing, it is because God sees potential in your life. And God says they're ready to graduate and go to the next level. And your eyes haven't seen and your ears haven't heard. And neither has entered into your heart the things that God is going to do on the next level when you pass the test. When you pass the test. Tests are only opportunities to have moments with God and with others. You'll never convince me ever that that moment that Abraham had on top of Mount Moriah, when God supernaturally provided, you never, ever, as hard as that was, never going to make me believe that wasn't a moment that empowered Abraham the rest of his life. You're never ever going to make me believe that that was a moment when that young 10 or 12 year old boy saw his dad's obedience and saw God come through. You're never ever going to convince me that wasn't a moment for that boy. Our moments and our tests are not just for us, they're for all those around us. The bottom line today is this: life is full of tests. Life is full of tests. Life is full of tests. Never do they cease. Never is it going to quit. Pass the test. Pass the test. Pass the test. For those of you that flunked the test, Study harder and take it again. Come on, somebody. No, don't whine. Don't pout. Don't be a titty baby. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't play the victim card. If you fail the test, suck it up, baby. Take the test again. Because you're going to pass it one of these days. And when you pass it, you're going to be glad you did. Embrace the test. Come on, we're men and women of God. God lives inside of us. I don't want it given to me. I want to work for it. I want to grind it out. Grace was given to me, but now I'm embracing it. Endure the test. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Moments are coming in your testing and in my testing. Before the test, during the test, and after the test. Here's what I want to do today as we close. We haven't done this in a while. We have the space and we have the time to do it today. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you in a moment. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to the message of God this morning. I'm just going to ask all of you to come to the front if the Lord's challenging you, is speaking to you, and I want to pray for all of you. But here's the deal. I'm going to pray for the testing to happen in your life. So if you're not really, really serious about it, I wouldn't get up and come to the front here in a minute. But if you're serious about your faith, unwilling to play Sunday morning games, unwilling to blame everybody else, if you're unwilling to step in, forget the past, reach towards what's ahead, don't come to the front, because I'm going to pray for God to test you and God to test me. Because what's keeping you and I from where God wants us to be is passing the test. So, worship team's going to play some music, and right now, if you're here and you say, I'm ready for that test, Lord, and I'm not playing, test me. I don't want to be status quo anymore. I don't want to stay where I was. Bring the test. Bring the test. Here I am. If your response to the voice of God is the same as Abraham, here I am, Lord. I want you to get up and come to the front today. Just get up and come down here and stand, and I'll pray for all of you at one time. God bless you. It's a test. It's a test. It's just a test. It's just a test. It's just a test. It's just a test. The test is not as big as your God. It's just a test. You got to pass this test right now. Praise the Lord. How pleased must God the Father be as He looks down from heaven and says, that's my family. That's my kids right there. Just like God blessed Abraham, He wants to bless you. Father, we declare Your goodness and Your greatness in this place today. Lord, I thank You for men and women that will not settle for status quo. I pray for men and women that have been through the test, and the test hurts, and the test is fearful, and the test is scary. Lord, and in the middle of that test, they don't understand and they don't have the knowledge, and because Your ways are higher than our ways. But today, Lord, as men and women have come to the front of this room right now, they said, we may not know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow, and that's You, oh God. So I pray that You would strengthen them right now, that, Lord, You would open up the windows of heaven and You would begin to pour out Your Holy Spirit in the hearts and the lives of the men and women in this place. Out of their belly would begin to flow rivers of living water, and where they once were weak, now God's strength is rising up within them. Strength and peace and power and joy and faith is rising up right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that today is not just a moment. Today is not just some emotional high where we are all sensitive right now and got goosebumps, but today is a day that You begin to do something in a real way, that You begin to do something in a new way, something that cannot be denied, something that cannot be reneged on, something that can't be changed. Today is a day when these men and women will look back and they can say, that's the day I drove a stake in the ground. That's the day when my life changed. That's the day when my marriage came back. That's the day when my children came back out of the pig pen. That's the day I got a new heart. That's the day the cancer was healed in my life. That's the day I got
got my financial breakthrough. Let today be the day. Test us, oh God. Test us, oh God. Give us tenacity and strength. As we walk out and we pass the test, give us wisdom, courage, and knowledge. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. As you go back to your seats, come on, put your hands together. Open up your mouth. Lift up a shout of praise. Give God glory. Let's worship one final song. Let's sing to the Lord.